Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Once we determine what our strengths are, we can use those gifts and talents to help others to heal. Helping others fosters congeniality. Congeniality facilitates peace and love. Now, here's your host, Terry Sue.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Frame of Mind. I'm your host, Terry Sue, and today I'll be discussing the power of chakras and the energy of stones with my guest, Wendy Ansell. Wendy Ansell, creator and founder of Rocks and Runes, has over 20 years' experience in the trade. Born in Boston, she left her family at the age of 18 and toured Europe. She then moved to Australia, acquired dual citizenship, and traveled the outback for over 12 years. There, she developed her relationship with nature and learned the art of listening to the earth. She also traveled extensively through Southeast Asia. Her travels include Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Hong Kong, Korea, Nepal, and an 8-month stay in Japan. Her company, Rocks and Runes, specializes in the metaphysical properties of semi-precious gems and minerals. She believes that physical upsets, imbalances, and diseases are created from emotional stress or trauma. To counteract that stress, we seek natural remedies in the form of gemstones and crystals. Her philosophy is, if your car is broken, consult the manufacturer. If your body is broken, consult the earth. So welcome, Wendy.
Thank you, Terry.
And let's begin by having you tell our listening audience about Rocks and Runes and what it has to offer. I've only scratched the surface, I know.
Okay, well, we're located here at 1006 North Lima Street in Burbank, right off Magnolia. We're going into our fifth year here in this particular location, and we specialize in gems and minerals, and we have a fairly extensive inventory of anywhere for the lapidaries, from tumbled stones to cutting slabs, natural specimens, stone carvings, and a pretty extensive line of sterling silver jewelry. We have a lot of books. We have a bunch of different tarot cards, and we also do ancient Viking runes.
Hmm. So how did you develop an interest in rocks and gems and stones?
I think I was interested in this as long as I can remember. I am fascinated by each and every single stone. And I think during my darkest hour, you know, I experienced the loss of a family member. There was no relief from anything until I discovered the healing power of the gemstones. And with that, I healed myself of a heart issue, and I believe it's emotionally related.
Mm. So, well, before we really get into it, let me ask you, what is the difference between a rock, a stone, and a gem? Because sometimes people use those words interchangeably.
Well, you know, not a whole lot of difference. I mean, they all start out as a rock. The valuable ones become gems, and, you know, ultimately they're all stones.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, to call them all crystals is correct, to call them all stones is correct. You know, gemstones, we specialize in the semi-precious version so that we don't do a lot of diamonds, sapphires, and high-end rubies. Mm-hmm. We specialize in the semi-precious so that they're affordable, but they're still all rocks and gems and stones.
So I understand that there's a lot of energy that's generated from the earth, and they that energy is manifests itself in stones and gems. And could you explain that a little bit to our listening audience?
Well, you know, I've been talking about this for a lot of years, and what I've realized is that gemstones are actually a very specific frequency based on their color, their mineral content, and their water content. And I personally believe that the water content inside the stone, for example, opal is between 3 and 30% water inside the stone still. I believe that is its little personal life force. And as Dr. Emoto explains in The Secret Life of Water and all of his other teaching, is that water is not only a conductor of energy, but is a life force that can be altered through thought form.
Could you elaborate on that a little bit more? Because I'm just really fascinated about rocks containing water and the percentage, the amount of water that they contain.
Mm-hmm. It can be very small, and you can literally have stones that are called anhydros that literally contain a pocket of water encased within an agate or an amethyst or even a selenite. Mm-hmm. And this water has actually been inside that stone for the life of the stone, which can be, you know, millions of years old. So therefore, it's untainted by our modern-day pollutants and contaminants. So to me, ultimately, that is the purest form of water left in the earth.
Mm-hmm. And so, say for instance, this is going off on a tangent a little bit, but I know when I was mentioning to some people that you were going to be my guest, one of the first questions that they asked, several of them asked me were, are the stone therapies that are often offered in health spas and facilities of that nature focused on the energies of the stones they use? Because they appear to be river rocks and so forth, but I mean, is there any value in that?
Well, I think it's more, like in that particular case, I think it's more about the rock being a facilitator of the heat.
Okay.
And they'll hold the heat, and then when you apply that heat to the person's body, it releases the muscle. So it's a different kind of healing than what we use. We honor the fact that every emotional trauma or disease has a specific frequency of its own. And there is a gemstone of some sort in this world that can actually counteract that frequency. And the stones are actually designed to create balance inside the human aura. And that's when you get into the different chakras and the different colored stones. Different stones will correspond with different emotional trauma.
So let's just move right into the chakras. And so what is your definition of the chakras?
Okay, well, the chakras are literally a vortex of energy, that which surrounds the body. We basically use a seven chakra system just to simplify a very complicated field. But literally, there are probably thousands of chakras, thousands of little turning energetic points inside the body. Definitely in the feet, multiple chakras in the hands, and you can literally activate those hand chakras to perform what we call hands-on healing, and
yes,
you transfer infrared from your body to another.
So what does each chakra region do? I know when the ones that we're most familiar with run the color spectrum. So starting with at the base of the spine, you have your first chakra.
And which is the root.
Yes, the root or base chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the second chakra, which is associated with the color of orange,
mm-hmm,
and that's between the pubic bone and the navel.
Right, and the creative chakra.
Mm-hmm, and we have the third chakra, and it's in Sanskrit it's called Manipura, and it's associated with the pancreas, the liver, the gallbladder, the stomach, the spleen, and it has to do with digestion.
Yeah.
And then we move up to Anahata, which is associated with the green color, and has to do with the heart and the thymus gland.
Right.
Also moving up to Vishuddha, and that's associated with the color blue, and it has to do with the throat, the neck, and one's creative expression using, you know, the voice.
Right.
Then going up to indigo, and that's ajna, that's the third eye. It's just above the eyebrow, in between the brow. And that is associated with your sense of intuition. And then, of course, then there's Sahasrara, and that's associated with white gold, mm-hmm. whitish goldish, and that relates to the pituitary gland and our connection to God or connection to Source.
Right.
And so what I wanted to discuss today is we're just going to take each one, and we're going to look at the stones that are connected and what connotes a sense of balance, and then what happens when those chakras are out of balance, and then what the stones can do to help to alleviate some of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so let's start with the first chakra, Muladhara, the red.
Right. Red chakra, the stones we would use to actually, when a root chakra is out of balance, people tend to be a little airy, a little ungrounded. So we add stones that literally pull the spirit into the body, because ultimately we will achieve optimal success when our body, mind, and spirit are connected. Mm-hmm. So the spirit has to be inside the body. So what we do to bring that spirit inside the body is we ground ourselves with the color red, and we use stones such as hematite, garnet, mukite, red mukite, and often carnelian. And also all the black stones as well, black tourmaline, black onyx.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that literally helps the person stay inside the body and be more present.
What is it about those particular stones that do that? I'm trying to grasp that concept.
Okay.
Well, what is it about the energy of those particular ones?
Well, the red frequency is very much a passionate, fiery, strong fight color. Mm-hmm. You don't wear red if you want to subdue the energy. You add red when you want to add life force. And the root chakra is all about survival. So in order to survive, one needs to be very present on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
For example, hematite, which appears to be a silvery black color, when broken and streaked down a piece of paper, is in actual fact red. And that red is iron.
Mm-hmm.
Just like our blood. So literally,
yes.
When you add that stone to the body, it's very heavy, and it makes you very much aware of your presence on the earth.
Fascinating. Yes, and as you mentioned before, the root chakra has also to do with those survival issues. So there's a lot of passion involved in that as well.
Yep, that's right.
And if it's too out of balance, then we have anger issues.
That's
so we
exactly
need to kind
right.
of bring all of that into balance.
And then you would use the opposite. Like for example, if somebody is too angry, we add the more subdued, more gentle colors, like a light blue. So mm-hmm. we add water to the fire. And that's what balances it out. People mm-hmm. who have too much energy, you put them in a blue room and they instantly calm. The stones work in the same way via those same vibrational frequencies.
Well, we're going to hold that thought because I want to come back to that. It's time for us to take a short break. This is Terry Sue with my guest, Wendy Ansell. And we're discussing the power of chakras and the energy of stones. And you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Shakespeare wrote,
"There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy."
Most of us don't give a second thought to higher planes or our existence. Tune in to Sacred Song Reiki with host Priscilla Gale. The program is a journey into spiritual and mystical discovery that you may have never known before. You'll open your mind to enlightened consciousness and to dynamic powers of healing. Sacred Song Reiki airs every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terry.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Welcome back, everyone. We're continuing our discussion with my guest, Wendy Ansell, owner of Rocks and Runes. So, Wendy, we were talking about the base or the root chakra, and it's associated with the color red. It has to do with passion and survival issues, but when it's out of balance, anger starts to set in. And we need to use the power of stones, not the red, so to speak, especially if there's anger involved, but then we need to go to the other end of the spectrum to kind of balance things out. Am I reading that right?
Absolutely.
I can really attest to that because I was discussing the importance of color when I was talking to someone having to do with using art in the classroom and classroom environment. And I had done some action research at one time on color in the classroom and what colors that you can use on your bulletin boards on a regular basis that would stimulate the intellect, but at the same time keep down a lot of anger and passionate issues, and especially after coming from the playground on a hot day. And I found that the greens and the blues were the most calming. So that's what I did my bulletin boards in. And I'm telling you, no matter what went on that playground, if the kids, some couple of guys got in a fight or the girls got in their little issues on the playground, within about 5 minutes after coming back into the classroom, they were pretty calm, and depending on what kind of music I was playing, they were able to settle down and discuss what their problems were and settle them in a peaceful manner. Mm-hmm. And I found that color has a great deal to do with one's environment and their disposition and state of mind. So, okay, so let's move on up to Suavastana, and that would be the second chakra. And that's between the pubic bone and the navel. So what's going on when it's out of balance?
Lack of creativity, lack of life force, lack of passion, kind of like a writer's block would be an imbalanced second chakra, issues with women's health. I mean, the reason they call it the creative chakra is because that section of the body represents the womb where life itself is actually created.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you want to have a nice, healthy reproductive system. So it's all about adding the color orange.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people call it the sex chakra.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So, lack of energy, lack of passion, lack of sexual desire, in some cases, depression. Mm-hmm. And that can really bring a person down.
Right.
So, needless to say. So, also, a person would be, there's an inability to experience then now or being in the present moment.
Right.
Because of that lack of focus and that lack of passion. If you're not passionate about something, you tend to be kind of lackadaisical about things and not be able to really center yourself and concentrate on what needs to be done, whatever
right.
that may be. So what can a person do to keep that in balance?
Well, you want to stimulate creativity. And mm-hmm. in doing so, one would add the color orange. So you would add, for example, an orange garnet called Hessenite garnet. Mexican fire opal works really, really well for creative chakra. Also carnelian, once again. Orange calcite works very well. And also a stone called peach moonstone. Very good for the reproductive system. Very good for women. Helps keep one in balance. So it's all about the ability to bring in new concepts, process them or digest them, and then release it, which is really, really important. People tend to hang on. When we hang on to an energy, we get out of sync because, as we know, we as human beings contain somewhere between, say, 80 and 90, 99.9% water content in accordance with quantum physics. And therefore, we too are ruled by the moon. We are water bodies just like the ocean. So opal, especially peach moonstone and fire opal, helps us to release energy so that we're more apt to go with the natural flow.
So when we're talking about these stones, how are they used? Are they worn? What would a person do in order to take advantage of some of this energy that's in the stones?
Okay. You can either hold them in your hand or keep them in your pocket. That's called the handheld version. You can wear them as jewelry. And you can also even make an elixir out of your stones, which means, and you have to be very careful of this, so definitely do more research before you go and put your stones in water. But literally, when you put stones in water, and we do this in a very clean way with rubber gloves so that we don't transfer energy and we're careful not to allow dust to enter into the water vessel, water is a conductor of energy. And mm-hmm. literally, when you add that stone to a body of water, that water will actually conduct the energy from that stone, and you can then induce it by drinking it or bathing in it.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And then, of course, you can put them in your environment. And we all know what it feels like to go into an environment when there's lots and lots of beautiful gemstones all over the place, and it feels just peaceful and amazing. So you put them in your environment, you carry them with you, and you wear them on your body.
All right. Well, let's move on up. Let's move on up to then Manipura, which is associated with the color yellow. Has to do with the pancreas, liver, gallbladder, stomach, spleen, and digestion. And so when all of this is unhealthy and out of balance, what's going on? What are some of the symptoms?
Lack of breath, lack of chi, lack of vital life force. The third chakra, it corresponds with the solar plexus, and that's literally where spirit dwells within the body. So what you want to do is you want to activate that spirit, make it comfortable and welcome, and breathe. A big, huge problem people have is lack of breathing. If you don't release the energy, and it's as simply by taking a deep breath and releasing it, that energy can get stored in the body and create physical ailments. So you want to breathe. You want to add that color yellow. It's the color of joy, and it's all about breath.
And so once again, what are the stones that are associated with that? You said carnelian?
Citrine.
Citrine, okay.
Which is a form of yellow quartz. Amber, which is a fossilized resin, very good for the memory. Prehnite stimulates chi, the vital breath. Those are mostly, and also there's a yellow mukite, and there's Marialite. There's a lot of different yellow stones. It's interesting to see how many stones there actually are, but when you wear a yellow stone fairly low on the body, you can really feel the difference in your breath. And once again, a lot of healing takes place with the release of the breath.
So that brings me to another question. I was just thinking while you were talking, is proximity to the area of each chakra, if you're wearing that stone,
mm-hmm.
in close proximity to where it's associated with, which chakra region,
mm-hmm.
would that be more powerful?
It is, and also that works in the laying on of stones as well. Mm-hmm. Should you be laying down and you put a piece of citrine on your solar plexus and you literally lay it in the body and you breathe it in, mm-hmm. and you release it through the breath, absolutely. Close proximity with the stones is an excellent way to go about it. And also always using stones with consciousness. Even when you arrange your stones in your house or in your work environment, it's always a good idea to arrange them via the chakras, because that way they get along. It's almost like the stones have such a frequency that if they're in a state of disarray, you'll have it's like 100 people singing a different song at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's mayhem. But if you put them in a very specific order via the chakras, they harmonize and create a beautiful, peaceful environment. So placement is very important.
So when that brings me to then another question. There was a book that I read called Moon Time, and it has to do with, you know, the gravitational pull of the moon and so forth, and how it affects our bodies, our minds, and in some cases our spirits. And they suggest that you watch certain places where, you know, the dogs have a certain energy, cats have a certain energy,
mm-hmm.
and how you should not place your furniture in the same place that your kitty might take a nap or prefer to sleep, because of the kind of energy that cats have.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you put your bed, if you find that your dog likes to sleep in a certain area, well, dog is going to have to find another area, and your bed should be there. Same thing with building a house and all of that. So and looking to see where cattle and trees are growing in certain areas. It's a fascinating book, actually. And so when you were talking about the stone placement, would you place those stones in a certain order, like you were saying, in order to prevent chaos?
Right.
Say, for instance, if you had red stones in one place, would you then put orange stones, the next color of the spectrum, in close proximity, and
mm-hmm.
the same thing with the yellow ones, as
mm-hmm.
they relate to the chakras around the room, so that you're surrounded with the spectrum rather than a chaotic placement of them?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I do, and you have to be kind of careful. Like, you're not going to get your fire colors, your red, orange, and yellow stone collection, and go and place them in your bedroom, because chances are it's going to keep you awake all night because you've just added fire.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to add the more calming stones, the blues, the greens, and the purples.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to calm the energy down, just like you said in the schoolroom. The
mm-hmm.
green and the blue tends to sedate the energy.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at nature, we've got more green and blue in nature than we do, even if you notice that red is used very sporadically,
mm-hmm.
and it's for a reason.
It's a very passionate color, needless to say, and I mean, it
right.
covers both ends of the spectrum as far as emotion. It can either mean, you know, deep sensuality or deep-rooted anger.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really be careful about how you use the color red and what you're using it for.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to move on up to Anahata, which is associated with the color green and has to do with the heart. And so when Anahata is out of balance, what's going on?
What happens when the heart chakra is out of balance is that there is not a love exchange. People feel very isolated, very separated, can't seem to work it out in the Department of Relationships. The heart chakra actually has two colors, both green and pink. And I've realized over the many years that the pink is for self-forgiveness. And we have to allow that to happen. And the green is actually for growth. And that is that which creates a healthy heart chakra. So the ability to let go of that which no longer serves and love it for the lesson. The only way we can ever release trauma and really release the people that we feel have done us wrong is through love and forgiveness, as hard as that may seem. But if you can look at the situation and say, you know, I thank you for the lesson. It's invaluable for my life. Then you don't have to go through that lesson anymore, and you can actually begin to heal the heart and attract healthy, loving relationships.
It is so important to reflect on what you have learned after coming out of a negative experience, something that's really broken your heart or something that has really affected you in a way where you feel like you're not ever going to be able to get over the hurt or the pain. That is a greater burden than just being able to let it go. And I know a lot of people will make that statement, get over it. It's easier said than done in many cases. And that is something that a person must pray and meditate over in order to really face what has gone on, what has transpired, in order to reflect on the good that can come out of that negative experience so that you can think and grow and learn and move on in a positive way. And it really is something that takes a great deal of effort. So I totally agree. And so then what are some of the stones and gems that are associated with that?
Okay. For the releasing of old trauma, would be rose quartz, a lovely little light pink stone. It's very, very gentle in its nature, and it's all about the releasing of trauma, self-forgiveness, surrender, the ability to just allow it to be what it is and honor the fact that there are karmic lessons. We may not know what created the karma, but we do know we have to release it in order to have a healthful, loving relationship. So the stones will be rose quartz, rhodochrosite, rhodonite, Peruvian pink opal. There's a lot of them and a lot of different little oddball strange stones as well. But that pink color is absolutely the color of health. And a healthy heart chakra really creates a perfect world, because when you incorporate them with the green being aventurine, emerald, green calcite, larcenite, peridot for joy. One can really learn to release the trauma and decide to rebuild a healthful life. So we thank the people that have done us wrong, and we take a breath and release it, and we get on with the program.
And you're absolutely right. It's just so hard sometimes, depending on the level of anger, the level of hurt, that it's really hard to let things go a lot of times. I know for me, I tend to hold on to some of the pain in an effort to remind me not to let that happen again. But in so doing, I cause myself more grief than I really need to. So just being able to just let things go, reflect on what has happened, and move on.
That's right. Well, you don't have too many choices. Either you're going to move on or you're going to get stuck.
That's
right. And getting stuck is not good. What getting stuck is, a blocked heart chakra literally is a lack of energetic exchange, and it literally separates us from all the love and beauty of the world. And then what is the point of life? If you can't see the magic in this beautiful world that we live in, then there really becomes no point, and we've got to come back and do it all over again. So we can just decide to burn off some karma and get on with the program.
We also, when you look at the what a weak fourth chakra can be identified with, there are blood pressure issues that are involved with that too. Unhealthy heart.
Right.
And you can become emotionally detached in order to keep from feeling that that pain anymore. You kind of numb yourself out at times.
Right. And you do.
And then that also takes you into that fear of commitment because you don't want the same thing to happen again. Mm-hmm. So all of those things are an unhealthy attitude, and it creates an imbalance there that really needs to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you can't be free to give love, so to speak, then you can't be free to receive it either. It doesn't work like that.
That's true story.
Yep. So, yeah, being able to reflect it and embrace what's good and move on from there is so essential. And so you said rose quartz facilitates that?
Yes, and, rose quartz facilitates
and
the surrender.
And then jade?
Yep. Jade works very well. Jade is actually for detox, and that's a really great stone to use also for the heart. I personally think that all heart disease, heart attacks, heart disease, heart disorders, palpitations, microvalve prolapse, all those heart conditions are literally created from literally a broken heart. And I personally experience this myself. And I also personally experience an actual healing of the heart. I was personally diagnosed with microvalve prolapse at a time in my life. And later on, it kind of healed itself and went away. And, you know, there is a healing that does take place. There is hope. There is the ability to rebuild broken trust, especially when it comes to spirituality. When we lose our loved ones, we feel like God betrayed us. What we have to do is alter our thought forms and say, okay, this is some sort of karmic debt. I release it. It is what it is. I can't change it. And you let it go.
Mm-hmm. All right. So with jade, you know, I'm kind of fascinated by jade because it does come in, you know, various colors. Does that matter?
I think that the different colors of jade actually correspond with the different chakras. But generally speaking, jade is a green stone. It does come in so many other colors, a lot of which are artificially colored.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like most purple jade is not natural purple jade.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have to be kind of careful when you go and purchase stones and choose your vendors, because hopefully they've done their homework and you won't end up with something you didn't bargain for. But jade literally is a great stone to put in, like, for example, a foot bath.
Mm-hmm.
It opens the pores in the bottom of the feet with hot water, and then it literally pulls out the toxins that create problems in the physical body. So jade's a big one, and we call it the grandfather of healing stones.
So when you say it pulls out the toxins, can you, is there anything that is evidenced by that when you're, say, for instance, when you're soaking your feet?
Mm-hmm.
Other than
right.
being able to see what if your feet are dirty or something like that, but how can you tell whether or not it's pulling it out?
Well, you know, there is. You can go and have an actual foot bath. It's a detox and ionic foot cleanse, and literally you can pull things out of the liver, like liver flukes and all sorts of stuff. All sorts of parasites will remove from the bottom of the feet. Quite surprisingly, jade is actually really good for that, which accounts for the fact that a lot of the Asian people over the many, many years always wear a piece of jade.
Yes, I noticed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that honors the fact that a clean body represents health and wealth and prosperity.
Okay. It's time for us to take another short break. So this is Terry Sue with Wendy Ansel, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Everything is in a state of vibration. We are vibrating beings emanating a symphony of frequencies through our bodies, thoughts, and emotions, all of which are influenced by our intentions. Become conscious of the vibrating universe in and around you. Tune into Peace and Harmony with Heart Songs and Conscious Talk with your hosts, Shiloh Love and Haley Love. Broadcast live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Join Patricia Raskin, the host of Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com, Monday at 11 Pacific. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call to Positive Living, Mondays at 11 Pacific Time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
There is a lot more going on in religion and government than what high-ranking officials are telling you. The Bible uncovers the truth, prophecies, and a world of opportunities. Get the answers you need when you tune into the program To the Stars and Beyond with your hosts Michael List and Adam Hong. We'll explore the religious and spiritual beliefs from ancient history to the prophecies that are shaping the world and current events of today. To the Stars and Beyond airs live every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on 7th Wave Network.
The new home for visionary positive change. 7th Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill at yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill at yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
So welcome back, everyone. We're continuing our discussion on the power of chakras and energy of stones with Wendy Ansell, and she's the owner of Rocks and Runes in Burbank, California. So we left off with the fourth chakra, which is the heart chakra, and it's called Anahata. And Wendy was telling us about the various stones that we could use to bring it into balance. But now we're going to move up to Vishuddha. And that's associated with the color blue. And that is the throat chakra, and it has to do with creative expression. So, Wendy, what's going on when it's out of balance?
An inability to communicate clearly. And it's a really difficult thing. When you look at the physical body and you view the throat chakra, you notice that it's in between the third eye, which is your intuitive centers, and the heart. And as difficult as it may be to connect these two places, in a perfect world, we really can. And we speak from our heart, and we speak from our truth, and we're not afraid to communicate. And I do believe that ultimately that is the love chakra, because love is truly based on an ability to communicate, clearly express oneself with confidence and no fear.
Mm-hmm. So with it being out of balance, it has to do with people being able to, as you said, speak from the heart, speak comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
So people that have a hard time, say, speaking publicly, mm-hmm. with public speaking, or being put on the spot with their with inquisitions or anything like that, then does that have to do more with the creative expression, the Vishuddha being out of balance,
mm-hmm.
or would it really have to do more with emotional issues having to do with
absolutely
fear, period?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of integrated, though.
Absolutely. You know, one does not, one is not affected, is not affected by the other. The emotions definitely have a way of getting into the chakra system and either preventing one from allowing that energy to flow freely. Mm-hmm. So therefore, to have a nice open throat chakra is a great ability to communicate, to self-express, to confidently speak in public.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain stones that we use literally on the throat, and they're worn as pendants, that are really amazing for allowing that energy to flow freely.
And stuttering is another one.
Which
stuttering
one? Stuttering
when it's
really
out of balance.
Mm-hmm. stuttering is a big one.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
It just came to mind. So.
And it is. Stuttering is definitely fear-based. It can also be trauma from childhood. You know, children are raised to be seen and not heard. You don't know what you're talking about. And then it literally resides inside the body. And they will have an issue with this until they decide to reckon with it. And then they can release it if they so desire. But if not, absolutely, it can create communication problems for the rest of their lives.
So what kinds of stones would facilitate the healing of that?
Well, my personal favorite is called Larimar. And Larimar comes from the Dominican Republic. It's the most beautiful light blue stone, and it almost looks like light blue with like white clouds. So it's very, very gentle. It's easy on the eye, and it's very easy for the body. Another name for it is Dolphin Stone, which is the communicator between the heavens and the earth. That's the dolphin. And it comes from, once again, the Dominican Republic. And worn on the throat creates an easy feeling in the throat chakra. Also, rainbow moonstone, which is also light blue. We have a blue quartz. We have a blue opal, blue chalcedony, blue lace agate. All blue stones worn on the throat help to release any energy.
All right. And we're going to move on up to Ajna, which is associated with the third eye. It's the third eye chakra, as a matter of fact. And indigo is the color that it is associated with. And so with Ajna being out of balance, what's going on there?
If somebody has a sixth chakra or third eye out of balance, they don't trust their intuition. To be able to trust one's intuition, you've got to realize that a very small percentage of communication is actually done via the spoken word, but it's more done through body language. So the third eye really helps you tune into that frequency so you can really understand the truth of what's going on in the situation. So it helps with psychic centers, a psychic awareness, the ability to really read between the lines, because a lot of times we don't have enough information to make decisions we really need to make. So we have to really just trust your intuition. Now, your sixth chakra, or your third eye, is directly connected to your second chakra, which is that belly, which is that gut feeling. I just have a feeling this isn't going to work out, or I have a feeling it's going to be fine. So it's learning to trust what you feel inside your being.
Something that doesn't necessarily have to be proven by science, but something that you just know. You know the difference between right and wrong, pretty much. Yeah.
And if you learn to listen to your own body, because that's where the answers actually are, then you'd be able to make decisions that are going to better suit the outcome.
Mm-hmm. And so also with that lack of trust of one's intuition, then it impedes their sense of self-discipline, and possibly not being able to feel like they could be, well, fear of success.
Correct.
So they're not necessarily feeling like they have a chance of actually, well, they might even feel like they don't deserve success.
That's right, because basically the third eye, as we move up the body, the third eye and the crown chakra connect us to spirit. Now, when one feels as if they were dropped off on this earth plane without any assistance from the spirit realm, then it can be very disheartening and very lonely, and one may feel very unsupported. So basically, you want to really build that trust with spirit, because they're giving us the answers, whether we're aware of it or not. The more you trust it, the stronger your relationship with the spirit realm builds, and the happier we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And that brings us to Sahasrara, which is the seventh chakra, or the crown chakra. And that is our connection to God or Source. And so when that is out of balance, tell us something about that.
Once again, it's a mistrust of spirit. It's a lack of connection with anything outside of our physical world, it's a lack of connection with Creator, and that creates lack of success. Because really, when you work with spirit, it doesn't have anything to do with practicality and common sense. It has to do with your gut feeling, how it feels on the inside of your being. So you make your decisions from the heart and not from literally the mind. Now, I just want to go back for 1 second and reiterate on the third eye.
Okay.
So stones we would use to activate the third eye are labradorite, azurite, lapis lazuli. Lapis was probably one of the first stones ever used in the world of natural health and healing. And, boy, Cleopatra used it. So this goes way back, and it's a very, very important stone for the Egyptians. But it really does make that connection between us and the spirit realm. And then we move to the seventh chakra, or the crown chakra, and that color, of course, is purple to white. So we would use stones to connect with the spirit realm, as purple has always been used for representing royalty. The crown chakra is the closest to the gods as we physically stand anyway. So a nice open crown chakra. In a perfect world, we are vessels for spirit, and we allow it. We don't self-doubt. We don't mistrust. We just allow spirit to work through us, and we just follow along. So stones that we use would be amethyst, sugilite, bertrandite. There's a lot of purple stones. There's purple crazy lace agate. There's purple plume. And it's really an amazing thing when you wear purple. It is instantly spiritual. Mm-hmm. So it's the color that represents spirituality and a closeness to God.
Yes. And so you have pictures of these on your website, don't you?
Most
I do.
Of them?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if they visit your website, they'll be able to see that. Now, I also noticed that you offer classes. What kinds of classes do you offer?
Okay, we've got a fairly good variety of classes these days. We had a Peruvian shaman do a chakra balancing and a natural health and healing class for us. We have sacred geometry hosted by Robert Williams. We have, I do a medicine bag class, which means we pass around a bag of stones and we read from the medicine bag. We do a class also where there is the laying on of stones, where you literally lie down on the amethyst biomat and we literally put stones on the body and activate them with a pendulum. I also do an elixir class, which teaches you in depth how to use stones to make elixirs, and then you can either induce it physically or use it in bath water or spray your environment. There's a lot of ways to go about healing with gems and minerals.
Mm-hmm. Could you explain the spraying the environment part?
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, after you've been in an environment, you have had a lot of people through there, it can kind of leave kind of stagnant, almost stale kind of energy at best. And then at other times, we can have literally what we call company. And this means that little lower entities can seep through the cracks, and we want to cleanse that out. And so what you do is you literally put stones inside of water and you spray the environment as one might use sage.
I was just about to ask you, is it similar to that?
Okay. It is similar. It cleans the air.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. So do you have any classes coming up for people who are local?
I've got like a Sunday morning medicine bag class that comes up starting at about 11 o'clock, finishing at about 12. And we're going to have Robert Williams come in and do sacred geometry at the end of July. I've got a reader who comes in and does the cards of divination every Saturday and Sunday. She's available. And I also do the rune readings during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And you can do a private reading with me. And we use the ancient Viking runes as well as the medicine bag. And that goes on a daily basis.
Yeah, I just noticed that you have a lot going on, and you also have many books to choose from as well.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do you have a wide variety of stones, you also have a lot of books that teach about the various gems and stones that are available and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, Wendy, I have a million questions more, and I have totally enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Terry Sue.
And I would also like to thank Wendy for sharing her journey, facilitating the healing process through the power of chakras and energy and the energy of stones. And if our listeners would like to find out more, Wendy, how can you be reached?
We can be reached at 818-846-0108. Otherwise, you're all welcome to come by and visit us. We're on the corner of Magnolia and Lima Street at 1006 North Lima Street in Burbank, right by Porto's, right by Hollywood Way. We're open from 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. every day except for Monday. Come in and check it out, because you really have to experience it. And we've got all the time in the world, and we talk about this all day. You can also bring in your stones for identification. We do free identification all day long if you happen to have an old collection. Come in anytime. We're happy to have you.
And I want to thank you, my listening audience, for tuning into Frame of Mind today. I hope that you have enjoyed our time together. And if you know someone who could be helped or served by this knowledge, please share it with them. Until next time, live in peace and love, everyone, and enjoy your day. Bye.
We hope that you've enjoyed our program this week. Please join your host, Terry Sue, again next weekend. We'll be here Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on 7th Wave Network. Until then, focus on your strengths. Live and think healthier this week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.